Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. As the Gospel passage opens on this Sunday, our Lord is coming down from the hill, that very hill where he has just finished preaching the famous Sermon on the Mount. That sermon is one of the most eloquent summaries of the spirit of the New Testament, of that new covenant in the most precious blood of our Lord. Jesus Christ, the new Moses, has revealed a new law, just as Moses once did on Mount Sinai. However, our Lord comes down from this new mountain not bearing stone tablets like the Ten Commandments given to Moses. Our Lord instead reveals the thoughts of his sacred heart to us, a law to be written on the heart of every Christian. Indeed, our Lord had promised through the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." What then is the essence of the new law preached by our Lord? In this same gospel, according to St. Matthew, only several chapters before, we read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Our Lord has come to cleanse and heal the human heart, to elevate it to his divine life. The cycle of human vengeance, the cycle of anger and hatred, that cycle of violence begun with Adam, intensified by the murder of Abel by his brother Cain, this endless cycle in our own hearts stops at last at the foot of the cross. It is there alone that our hearts find their fullest and truest healing. It is perfectly fitting then, as St. Jerome notes, that our Lord immediately works a miracle after the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount to confirm the authority of his shocking and, to our human minds, seemingly contradictory words. He turns to a leper waiting at the foot of the mount on which he had just preached. With startling faith, the leper says to our Lord, "If you will it, you can make me clean." Our Lord replies without hesitation, speaking to all of us through the leper, "I will it. Be made clean." As we know, leprosy is a horrible disease that disfigures the skin and limbs of its sufferers. In the Old Testament, in the ancient world, those who suffered from it were cast out of cities and towns, abandoned by their families for fear that they might infect others. Yet the leprosy that our Lord heals this Sunday is merely the image of that far more hideous plague that darkens the human heart, the plague of sin. And truly, among the monsters of sin, few are more opposed to that evangelical spirit, to the law of our Lord Jesus Christ, than the prideful sin of anger and resentment. Frequently, we are blind to our hearts are dominated by the dark rule of anger. We so often justify ourselves before our own eyes. Again and again in our minds, we list the many reasons why we are right to feel angry. We imagine the many ways in which the person who has offended us, be they a spouse, a friend, a boss, a stranger, should beg our forgiveness. We imagine the very kind of apology they should give to us. We fantasize about our victory over them, of the approval of all who look on us as we dominate them, our hated enemy. At last, we are vindicated by the humiliation of those who wronged us. We rise to see them crushed. However, in the consummation of our anger, as we repeat the sin of Cain, murdering our neighbor not by our hands, but by our hearts, we can only weep as our vaunted victory gives way to the hollow shell of our own self-pity. The victory of anger is hollow. The victory of anger is a lie. Pride and anger form a treacherous mountain, and as we climb it, as we worship our own self-will in seeking vengeance, Satan, the father of lies, happily encourages us. Stoking our rage, the enemy of mankind pushes us onward and further up, far above the sure ground of truth and humility. Yet as we rise in anger, we only become more isolated, blind to the dark toll anger takes on our entire spiritual being. Divine providence will try to uncover our own blindness to us. By our blindness, however, our spiritual blindness, we close the eyes and ears of our soul to the gentle correction of our loving Lord, thus making it very difficult for us to be corrected, for his loving words to make it through. Instead, our Lord may permit us to fall into other more humiliating sins, like a sin of impurity, in order to call attention, in order for us to understand, call attention to our blindness, to our self-reliance, our habitual anger, our failings against charity. What a strange treason it is for someone who takes pride in calling himself a follower of Jesus Christ to give in to sins of anger and resentment. How could we Christians, we who worship a man who at the most important moment of his life, a moment when he suffered the greatest wrongs ever suffered by a man, was, in the words of Isaiah, not like a great warrior, vengeful, but like a sheep led to the slaughter. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as his apostles drew swords to defend and avenge him, he rebuked them, saying, "All who take the sword shall perish by the sword." As he was dying on the cross, with his enemies gloating over his apparent defeat, taunting him, he uttered not a curse, no curse against them, but instead he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When his disciples asked him how they should pray, that same man gave them a prayer that forever made their own forgiveness dependent upon the forgiveness they might freely give to one another. "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Yes, this is Jesus Christ, the man we worship. But of course we worship him because he is also God. Far from making the treason of our anger more excusable, it makes it less so. Jesus Christ, true God and true man, the eternal Word made flesh, he knows sin. He knows our many wrongs and the many wrongs we have suffered. He knows suffering in his own flesh. More than any of us could possibly hope to understand, he understands them perfectly. During his earthly life, he held all power in his hands. To his disciples rushing to defend him by the sword, he remarkably said that he could ask his Father in an instant for more than 12 legions of angels, but he chose not to. No one could possibly have more right to avenge himself. No one had more power to do so, and yet no one ever acted so contrary to human vengeance. Each and every one of us here have benefited from that prayer, "Lord, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Though we were lost in sin, enemies of Christ, worthy of his judgment and condemnation, he loved us first, and by his grace, we have been baptized into that love and elevated to his divine life. He has transformed us from children of wrath into his own co-heirs, from strangers and enemies into his brothers and sisters by his love. It is why St. Paul says to us, "Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it be possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." These words from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, which we heard today, they are but the continuation of our Lord's blessed Sermon on the Mount. They are the antidote to the leprosy of anger that disfigures our poor hearts. The world puts its hope in its own wisdom, but we must have the humility to admit that our knowledge, our so-called wisdom, is not enough. We do not know how our neighbor stands truly before our Lord. We cannot see his heart. And even if he has undoubtedly wronged us, we have undoubtedly wronged our Lord. St. Paul says, therefore, do what is noble in the sight of all. St. Thomas Aquinas says that Christian nobility shines by combating evil with charity, with divine love, by freely offering to our neighbor the peace that we ourselves have been so freely given without any merit of our own. There is only one true judge. It is not any of us. That one is Jesus Christ. He will come again to judge this world by fire. He holds all of our lives in his hands. No moment escapes his providence. We should be relieved, therefore, at the thought that we can abandon our own defense, our own vengeance, to an all-powerful King who loves us, who knows the truth, who knows what we've suffered, who is the truth, who has promised to defend us. We do not have to fight alone. What need have we of our own darkened, vengeful reasons when the Son of God himself has promised to defend us? Does this mean that we should allow men to trample over us, to wrong us openly? Certainly not, says St. Thomas Aquinas. We should defend ourselves and our good name insofar as we reasonably can. But when our own means, as they so often do, come up short, again by our Lord's providence, we should be content and even grateful to have an occasion to abandon ourselves in humility and love to our Lord, giving our enemies food and drink, being generous in the face of their evil, says St. Thomas. This indeed heaps burning coals over their heads. But they are not coals meant to see them perish in the fires of hell, no. These are the burning coals of charity, described by the Canticle of Canticles, says St. Thomas Aquinas. By allowing our Lord to so heal the leprosy of our anger, we are thus not overcome by evil, but we instead overcome it with good. The goal of our Christian life is to cooperate in faith, hope, and charity with our Blessed Mother, the Ever-Virgin Mary, as she forms in our souls the image of her divine Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other means for us to be saved than to follow his path to the Father. There is no other release from our anger. There is no other means to free ourselves from resentment than by the way that he chose, by sacrifice, by self-denial, by unconditional forgiveness. Because the love that dwells in our hearts today is only there because he himself refused to condemn us, we who condemned him by our sins. We hungered for divine truth, and he gave us his very self as food and drink. Let us today, therefore, if we have the misfortune to find in our hearts resentments and anger of any kind, let us, like the leper, turn to our Lord with loving faith, ready to receive the gift of pardon for ourselves, that we in turn may extend it in love to our enemies. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.